As Christians, we have every reason to be confident in Him whose word stands forever. He wants us to trust Him.
In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about doubt. If you're anything like me, you are tormented sometimes with hideous, undermining doubts. I suppose it's my temperament. I suppose a psychologist would classify me as melancholic, and I come from a long line of worriers on both sides of my family. I can remember my father just being in an absolute agony over some of the decisions that he had to make in his business. He was the editor of a small Christian paper called the Sunday School Times in Philadelphia, and he bore the weight of all the responsibility of that magazine. And if the circulation was dropping, he was in an agony of doubt that he had done something wrong. It was all his fault. And I can remember some very silent dinners when we all sat around realizing that Daddy was very worried, and there didn't seem to be very much conversation because he was in doubt. And I'm sure that it was a spiritual exercise for him all his life. I'm sure also that the Lord did meet him, and there was real growth and progress in his trust in God. But I come by doubt naturally. That's not an excuse. That's simply an explanation. And as Christians, we have every reason to be confident in Him whose word stands forever. He wants us to trust Him. Never doubt the goodness of God. Whatever else you doubt, don't ever doubt the love of God. He proved His love absolutely on the cross of Calvary. He loved me and gave Himself for me. So whatever in my own personal circumstances would seem to point to God's not loving me, God's not paying attention, God's not being sovereign, just answer it at the cross. Take your soul to the foot of that cross and say, Lord, here is where I hang my soul, on the love that was proved there. Samuel Rutherford wrote to a sick lady in 1628, here is your comfort, that He who seeth perfectly through all your every ills and knoweth the frame and constitution of your nature and what is most healthful for your soul, holdeth every cup of affliction to your lips with His own gracious hand. Never believe that your tender-hearted Savior, who knoweth the strength of your stomach, will mix that cup with one dram of poison. Drink then with the patience of the saints, and the God of patience bless your medicine. Someone may question whether or not Samuel Rutherford really had scripture for saying that every cup of affliction is held to her lips with His own gracious hand. Does God afflict His children? Yes, sometimes He does. The scripture says, He doth not willingly afflict the children of men. And the psalmist says, I know that in faithfulness Thou hast afflicted me. He is always faithful, always loving, and always wise. And just as there are times when you have to give your child bitter medicine that the child hates, you hold that teaspoon or that cup to your beloved child's lips. And you know that he doesn't understand it, he doesn't want it, he kicks and screams, he doesn't know why this loving mother or father is treating him this way. So God has to treat us at times for our good. Drink then, Rutherford says, with the patience of the saints, and the God of patience bless your medicine. Who out there is doubting because of your present trouble? Are you wondering whether it's punishment? Are you thinking, well, I guess I'm just not spiritual enough. I'll never be like all those spiritual people. Are you doubting that God loves you? He can't deny himself. Are you experiencing deadness, dryness, boredom? Same old house, same old breakfast to get, same old kitchen to work in. Oh, wouldn't you just love to remodel your kitchen? Same old menus, same old grumpy people at the breakfast table, same old clothes to wash. You know what I'm talking about. Deadness, dryness, boredom, common to us all. Thinking, sometimes I wonder if I'm even a Christian. And I hear Elizabeth talking as if she knows it all and she's got it all together. My life's not like that. Christ lives in you. Do you believe that? If you have received him, if you have opened the door of your heart, if you have responded to his grace, he comes in. He lives there. He dwells there. When you feel so dreadful and so full of doubt, did you think he had moved out? Did you think he had died? Well, sometimes holy fear is a very good thing. A tender conscience is a very good thing, too. We would be in big trouble if we never had any spiritual doubts, if we never had any fears about the measure of our holiness. They would show that we were calloused. Satan is always claiming that everything we do is half his. At least that's what he tells me. Everything you do, he says, is with a mixed motive. Well, he might be right. I don't think it's always half and half. I hope that sometimes the motive is 90% good and maybe only 10% mixed. But there is a place where the Spirit of God can hold you, confident in the everlasting arms. Don't ever mix up resting in the everlasting arms with a lazy kind of presumption that puts you to sleep and anesthetizes your conscience. That's not what I'm talking about when I quote every time at the beginning of my program, underneath are the everlasting arms. I'm not talking about lazy presumption and anesthetized conscience. Concentrate on God. Concentrate on his promises. Memorize them. Write them on a little slip of paper and stick them in your mirror where you can't help seeing them. Put them up over the sink. Put them on the refrigerator. Meditate on his life in you, his desire toward you and for you. Many Christians are like young sailors who think that the shore and the whole land is moving when the ship and they themselves are moved. Have you been on a ship? Do you know what it's like to feel as though the land is moving? We've all been on a plane or a train looking out the window when suddenly it seems as though the whole landscape begins to move, when in fact it was only the train or the plane that moved. It would be easy for a young sailor to experience the illusion that the shore and the land were moving when it was only the ship and they themselves. We can count on it that God is not moved. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know that gospel song, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand"? Do you imagine that God is moving and sailing and changing just because your giddy soul is under sail and subject to alteration and ebbing and flowing? So long as you are wrestling and fighting and praying and watching and fearing God, you have no cause to doubt your salvation. It's God's Spirit in you that makes you long for His holiness. If He weren't there, you couldn't care less about mixed motives or spiritual dryness. Thank God that He never changes. Just the other day, I had the experience of watching a beautiful 133-foot-long sailing vessel named the Coronet, which is docked in Gloucester, move from dry dock back into the sea. That was a wonderful experience, to see that enormous vessel very slowly let down by huge chains, the biggest chains I've ever seen, and just settle as with perfect peace and confidence into the water. That too is a spiritual illustration of how we can let ourselves down into those everlasting arms, the way a ship perfectly designed to sail lets itself down into the water, confident that the water will always hold it. Those everlasting arms are underneath, and you are loved with an everlasting love. Do you doubt that? Quit doubting, for God's sake.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.